it earned. They are coming.
Welcome to Shriek Previews. Hey everybody, welcome back to the relaunch of Shriek Previews, brand new for 2021. 2020 was basically a horror film all on its own. We all had to live through, and everything kind of really sucked. This podcast really originally started early 2020. With my then host Marty, and immediately, like the day hours after we recorded the first episodes, he ended up with some health issues, which has kept him out of commission even until now. So hopefully he'll be able to rejoin us at a later date. So now I have relaunched with my old friend Dan. Say hi, Dan.
Hi, everybody.
And so we are going to relaunch Shriek Previews with a better studio, better equipment, better hosting, everything like that. And maybe we'll take those old episodes and import them over later on with their poor sound quality and things like that. So welcome back to the new improved Shriek Previews, renewed for 2021. So today we're going to start off talking about renewing things. We're going to start off with an old classic, and we're going to compare it to its remake. So we're talking about Poltergeist, one of the classic horror films in the genre. It came out in 1982, starring Craig T. Nelson. And if we look at the Amazon Prime description for it, it says Steve Freeling moves his family into a new house in development, and it looks like things are going well. But as his wife and his children begin to unpack, strange things start happening. So, Dan, why don't you start us off? Give us your thoughts and opinion. Oh, and by the way, for anyone who needs to be told, there will be spoilers, but a lot of the movies we cover are decades old, or at least years old. So we'll give this spoiler warning each time. But, yeah, if you're listening, if you continue listening, there's going to be spoilers. That out of the way, Dan, fire away.
Well, the movie follows the Freelings, who unfortunately move into a house that is, spoiler alert, where an old cemetery used to be. Excellent movie. I thought the concept was great. I think it's one of those movies that stands the test of time. You can still see it and still have fun. For me, the most important thing is that it's entertaining. Really enjoyed the movie. It's worth checking out even today. It's a good family movie. There's something about Steven Spielberg Productions, because this was, I believe it was produced by Spielberg.
Produced
it was
by
directed
Spielberg.
By Toby Hooper, who was the director of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about his productions that even though they may be scary, there's still like a fun family type atmosphere that you can still watch with everybody, I think.
I don't know. I don't know if I would show this to young kids.
There's a limit.
Because it's a horror movie, and it's actually kind of scary. A lot of horror movies aren't really scary, but especially the first time I saw this one, it was unsettling. I think it's these days, especially a horror movie that is actually scary is a rare thing.
Well, you know, you're right. I do agree with that partially. I would be more willing to show my kid a movie like this than something that's extremely blood and gore.
Right. There's no gore and guts and such. The reason I find this more scary is it's more, I don't want to say realistic, but has more sense of realism than the blood and guts and type stuff. People hear ghost stories and things like that, whereas people don't often hear of like a monster going around and disemboweling people and stuff like that. So, I mean, yes, things like serial killers exist, but those are, and especially these days, those are kind of glamorized and glorified. But I mean, Poltergeist is about, you know, this little girl, Carol Ann, who she starts communicating with spirits through her television set. And, you know, back then, back in the 80s, when you turned the TV to an off channel, you got the snow, the shh. And in fact, at the end of the day, at about midnight or 2 a.m. or whatever, the networks actually stopped broadcasting. And so it went to snow. So the TV was left on, and it, you know, they played the Star Spangled Banner, and you know, good evening, America. We'll see you in the morning. And then it goes shh.
And you don't remember when we were kids, they used to do that. I found that kind of unsettling, actually, at the end of the broadcast day, because you were so used to seeing a broadcast throughout the day that then they'd show that little video with a montage and Star Spangled Banner,
yeah,
music instrumental, and then it would just cut. I always thought that was a little unsettling.
Yeah. You know, here's a little side story about the unsettling of that stuff. So when I was younger, I suffered from night terrors. And for whatever reason, I would, when I had a night terror, I'd wake up and I'd be still kind of sleepwalking and such. And I tended to do the same things. I would strip all the blankets off of my bed and throw them down the stairs. Then I would go to the television that was in my room. I would turn it to like channel 3, or maybe it was already on channel 3, because I'd play video games and stuff. And
another famous channel 3.
Yeah. And I'd turn the volume all the way up. Now it was turned off. The TV was off, but anytime, as soon as somebody in the morning or the next day, somebody turned it on, it was on the off channel. So it'd be static at full volume. So it'd just be like, and it would be very startling.
Wow.
I don't know why I did this. You know, I was 7-8 years old, whatever. But so that kind of that static, that snow that you got on an off channel, has always been kind of personally unnerving for me as well.
Yeah, and even you know, now that you talk about sleepwalking, did you ever see The Hat Man while you had night terrors, by the way?
I don't think I did.
It's something to look up.
Okay.
But anyway. You know, it's while we're on the theme of sleepwalking, and I know this is leading one thing to another, but I remember seeing my daughter Stephanie get up and sleepwalk around the house, and I thought that was a little unsettling too.
Yeah.
And I was just watching her walk around, and you know, she'd go to like different rooms. I only saw that once or twice, but I didn't like seeing that. And it's funny how you see elements of all this in the movie. You know, they think the little girl's sleepwalking, if I don't remember.
Yeah, they think she's sleepwalking because she's standing there staring at the static.
Yes.
And talking. And they're like, Carol Ann, are you okay? You know, what, who are you talking to? And then you get an iconic horror movie moment. She turns to her parents and this just deadpan face. She goes, they're here. And, you know, who's here, honey? The TV people. You know, then Poltergeist goes on. There's certain beats within the movie. They start to detect psychic activity around it. They kitchen chairs
arrange
themselves quickly on the table, like in this big pyramid or whatever. And then they discovered that if Carol Ann sits, or if you put something in a little area of the kitchen and let it go, the spirits would move it across the kitchen floor. And they tried it first with like a ball or a little car, and then they put a little football helmet on the little girl and they move her. And the mom and the daughter are so excited telling the dad about this, and he's like, this is weird. This is not something to be excited about. And then other things happen, like the old dead tree outside of the house during a storm kind of reaches in and grabs a brother and pulls him outside of the window and starts to eat him.
Mm-hmm.
And they get him away from the tree. But that, you know, that was always a scary part to me as a little kid as well.
To me, it was a toy clown.
Well, yeah, the toy clown.
And his face changes. And that for me, even now, that little clown gave me chills.
Well, why that would be a children's toy that looked like that makes no sense to me. I mean, that clown was terrifying.
I know. That's what I thought. If he was afraid of the damn clown, why not throw it out?
Right, exactly.
Why would they keep it?
And yeah, so you had that scary clown, and then we had the, what was the other main beat as well? There was the clown, the tree, And then she gets, Carol Ann gets sucked into her closet.
Oh, yeah. That part, as a matter of fact, I found a blooper there. I don't know if, I'm sure people have probably seen this or brought it up, but the part when she's holding onto the bread frame, and she's being sucked into the closet, if you pay close attention, she lets go. There's a close-up shot of her hand letting go of the bread frame, and in the very next shot, you see her going into the closet with the bed frame in hand.
Oh, interesting.
Mm, something to watch.
I'll have to double check on that. Yeah, because I didn't notice that. So then she's gone. She's in like this parallel dimension, and they can't find her, but they hear her voice like from afar, like, "Mom, can you hear me?" You know? And so they bring in this psychic lady who's this little old short lady. She's got to be 4 feet tall. She's just this little old lady, and she helps them find and rescue Carol Ann from the beyond dimension or whatever it is.
Yes, I think she was one of the highlights of the movie, too.
Yes.
She was very, I think she was like a comedy relief in a way.
I don't know if she necessarily was comedy, but because there nothing she did was funny necessarily, but she added a, just her, I mean, the comedy part would be that she was so short, but the way she carried herself and her character, did you look up her name?
Yes, Zelda Rubinstein was the actress, and the character she plays is Tangina Behrens.
Tangina Behrens. And I mean, I believed that she was psychic. She was like this clairvoyant, just the way she played the character. I thought she had the most personality of any other character in the entire movie.
I thought her character was funny. I found her very entertaining. Overall, terrific cast by everybody. You know, Craig T. Nelson, James Caron as Mr. Teague. That's the guy that convinced Craig T. Nelson's character that it was okay to build.
Oh yeah, his boss. Yeah, that comes up. You know, he's like, "Oh well, too bad the cemetery's here." He's like, "Oh, we'll just move it. We've done it before.
Why not?"
And then we come to find out at the end that they just moved the headstones. They didn't actually move the bodies because the bodies start coming up from the ground and stuff like that.
I love that scene where he grabs them at the end. He's like, "You moved the damn headstones. You kept the bodies, but you moved the damn headstones."
Yeah.
Right before James Caron gets it. I think he doesn't die, but I think he something happens to him where he gets like blasted with a flash of energy or something.
Yeah, I don't remember for sure what happened, but and then the house gets swallowed up by the parallel dimension and leaving just the empty lot. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the end of the movie, the scene where the family is weary and they go and they check into this old Holiday Inn and they walk in. And then the next scene, it shows the door open again and he wheels the TV out.
TV.
So,
by the way, Joe Beth William is a fox in this movie. Oh my God, I just had to mention that.
And so, all in all, this has, the Poltergeist was for a long time, one of my, I'd say, top 10 horror movies. It was just so well done. It's not your typical slasher film. It had a great cast, great storyline. Even with the limited special effects in the 1980s, they were done well. And it was just so much that was iconic from it. So I would give Poltergeist a rating of 8 out of 10. 8 skulls.
I would give Poltergeist a rating of 9
skulls. 9, okay.
9 skulls, yes. I think it's a movie that can be rewatched. You can probably, you know, see it again in a 1 or 2 years, and you'll still enjoy it.
Okay, yeah, interesting. So now we jump to we fast forward about close to 35 years, I think. Let's see, the reboot came out in 2015, so that's 33 years. The reboot, according to Amazon Prime, says, in this terrifying take on a classic, a suburban family tormented by interdimensional spirits must save their daughter from being lost to the ghost forever. And now this one starred Sam Rockwell as the father, replacing Craig T. Nelson, Rosemary DeWitt is the mother. And this movie, I would, you know, in my opinion, there's a difference between a remake and a reboot, which will come into play in later episodes and stuff. But this one was a remake, I think, in that it stayed pretty close to the original storyline. You have the same kind of, a lot of the same beats. You've got the TV. Now, this one isn't the static, instead, because now it's HD TVs and such. So it's just the screen goes kind of blank white. And then what they can do with more modern special effects, you see handprints, like somebody's spirits are trapped in the TV. Mm-hmm. The girl isn't Carol Ann. She's got a different name in the remake. But you've got the same beats. You've got the stuff moving and arranging by itself and stuff moving across the floor. You've got the clown. You've got the tree. You've got the being sucked into the closet. And you've got the visiting psychic. Although I love how they did this to kind of update it with the times and stuff. The visiting psychic now is it's not an old lady. He's
an
like
old Irish priest, almost like he gave me the impression like he was a priest, but he wasn't a priest.
Yeah. And he's a social media icon. He's got a YouTube channel and a TV show and stuff. And so just highlighting modern society's fascination with TV celebrities and just celebrities in general. So I thought, I didn't like him as well as I liked the little old lady, but he still did a great job. And that actor was played by, what's his name?
Jared Harris.
Jared Harris.
As Kerrigan Burke.
Kerrigan Burke, yeah. And I've seen him in other movies, and he's done a very good job. I think he was Moriarty to Robert Downey Jr.'s Sherlock Holmes. Mm-hmm. And he was also in another horror movie years later, where they go to like this abandoned church and they're running a science experiment and stuff, and he's a teacher. I don't remember the name of that one.
What movie is that? That sounds familiar.
So yeah, he was in The Quiet Ones, is that what that one was called? And he was also in the Netflix not documentary but show about Chernobyl.
What is that? Not Chernobyl Diaries. That's a movie,
no.
Right?
Yeah, it was a footage
movie.
Yeah, this was Chernobyl was a movie about the Chernobyl disaster that was on Netflix. I'm pretty sure it was Netflix.
Yes, I remember that one.
And it was really well done. But you know, we digress. So Jared Harris, yeah, he's a fantastic actor, and I think he did justice to the role. I just didn't like him as well as the little old short lady.
Me neither. I you know, I did like his character. I thought he was kind of there, you know. At first, he comes in and he's kind of a badass, and I like the way they played him, and he was very knowledgeable. But then towards the end, I thought he got it a little bit kind of silly. That's just my thought. I also liked Sam Rockwell, great actor. I thought he really transferred that anguish, of a dad with a missing child. It's the same with Craig T. Nelson in the other one. It was a good movie. You know, this one, I think you're right. They changed quite a bit of it. They kept a lot of the beats, like the clown. I think they kept the tree.
The clown, the tree, they kept. They kept the stuff moving around by itself and such. They kept the TV, which I was surprised because, again, you don't have snow anymore.
Yeah.
You know, just white. And
the hands was a nice touch.
The hands, yeah, it was a really nice touch. And they kept the whole thing about the house being built on an old cemetery. One thing I really loved about the remake, and this is just because they could do better things with special effects, is they send a drone into the closet to find the girl who isn't Carol Ann anymore, you know, somebody else's name, but a drone with a camera. And so you see the inside of this other dimension, and you see the spirits clamoring for the light and things like that, and the hunger. And I just thought that was a really cool touch that they couldn't have done in 82.
Yes, me too. I agree. I that was a good use of modern technology on an old take of a classic movie.
Yes. So all in all, I felt that the Poltergeist remake was true to its heritage. You know, it kept the same story. It kept the same flavor. Some updated stuff with the drone and the the different kind of TV and the psychic now being a celebrity and such. So, updated things to reflect current times, but I felt it still had the same flavor. So I don't necessarily like it better than the old one, but I don't like it worse. That's one that I would still give the new one a 8 out of 10 skulls. I thought you could see either one of them, either the new one or the old one, and get that Poltergeist flavor.
I did not like it.
Okay.
You know, but I agree with everything you said about the updated touch or the static, and no, not static on this one, and not having static on this one, but having the hands and having the psychic who's a social media celebrity. I did like all that, but I think it just missed it. It's not a movie that I would care to watch again. Once was good enough. You know, it was an interesting insider look to see what they did with it. It didn't seem as entertaining as the other one. It just missed it. That's the best I can say. Good actors, good cast. Sam Rockwell's great. This is about the only one I recognize. I think they could have done better.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, so how would you rate it?
I would say I'd say 4.
Wow.
4 skulls, mainly because it's a novelty movie, because you want to see what they would do with the old idea.
Lost 5 skull points on your rating. You went from 9 to 4. That's a big drop, but, that's certainly, you're entitled to your opinion, even if you're wrong. So,
you know, one thing, and this is aside from the rating, I don't disqualify or qualify this, but on for any movie, but I did like that in the old movie, seeing all the Star Wars toys in the kid's bedroom, in the young kid, the young boy's bedroom, because at that time we were all big into Star Wars, and we had all, you would recognize all those
right. Names. I had that toy.
Yes, I have the X-Wing. I have the Y-Wing, and I thought that was cool.
Sure. Yeah. No. That the you know that bit of nostalgia being from a children of the 80s that we were. So,
and that's what I. That's another thing that I missed on this one. Those little touches of modern family, because what I felt in that I think that's what the problem was for me is that in the old one, the Freelings had this little touch of realism. There's something I can't explain, but it was so real. It was like. It was like your neighbor's family, or it was like your family. There was something that you could relate to them. You know, like the thing with the Star Wars toys. You had them, you know, you could recognize them, and I think it endeared you more to them.
Fair enough. And, you know, it's interesting you say that, because it's possible that somebody in their 20s, you know, who was born in the 90s or 2000s that are watching the new Poltergeist versus the old Poltergeist, you know, the old Poltergeist, they'll be like, that feel, the 80s and the Star Wars toys, is completely foreign to them, you know, that weird TV snow, whereas the updated one, that's more real and familiar to them. So it might be a generational thing. Younger people may find the newer one to enjoy better for the same reasons that you're saying you enjoy the older one.
Yeah, but Star Wars toys were big even in 2015. I don't know. You could be right. I don't know. There's something that they...
Sure.
That was just missed on this one by the family.
Fair enough. So, you know, if you choose to watch them, take both of them, take that into consideration, you know, the differences. And I liked them both equally, but Dan liked the original far better than he liked the new one. Now, currently, you can watch... Currently, I don't believe either of these are streaming on any of the free, the subscription sites. I know it's not on Amazon Prime for free.
I found Poltergeist on Netflix.
Netflix, okay. Might be on Netflix. You might check Hulu and such. If you haven't seen, if you've only seen one and not the other, definitely recommend you check the one you haven't seen out to kind of get that flavor. If you haven't seen either one, pick either one, or I would recommend watching them both so that you can pick and choose and really decide. So Now, Dan, did you have any final thoughts on Poltergeist, either the original or the remake, that you wanted to touch on before we move to the next segment?
Definitely watch both of them, and you decide, and let us know. Send us an email, drop us a line, and tell us what you think.
Yep, and that's shriekpreviews@gmail.com if you want to email us, and that'll be in the show notes and such. And then,
and keep it friendly. Uncle Dan's easily offended.
Right. Yeah. You know, we can't, we don't want him weeping on the air. Oh, they wrote a bad email to me. They were so mean. All right. So moving on to the next segment, obviously now we're diving headfirst into 2021. So many movies that were supposed to come out in 2020 didn't. And so what movies, horror movies, are you looking forward to seeing in the new year?
The Conjuring. The Conjuring 3, is it?
Yes, Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It, is what it's...
Oh, my God. You see, that's what I don't like, is when the titles get so corny, because it loses something from the horror aspect of it.
Right. Well, the first one was just The Conjuring, and then the second one was, I think it was called, like, the Enfield Poltergeist, or the Enfield Haunting or something like that. Cause,
oh, it's not The Devil Made Me Do It? Oh, the second one.
Okay. Yeah.
Please tell me it's really not titled The Devil Made Me Do It.
It is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think Conjuring 2 is the Enfield Poltergeist or something like that. But yeah, Conjuring 3 is The Devil Made Me Do It, yeah. So
that title seems so corny to me.
Yeah. Who knows? That is currently set to release on June 4th of 2021. So we'll see what happens with that. So let's see, you took mine, because that's the one that I'm most excited about as well, because I love the first two Conjuring movies, and we should probably do an episode on those at some point.
Yes.
So I'm going to jump to a...
Well, there's really nothing else out there that's coming out.
Well, I'm going to jump to... I'm looking forward to seeing how the Candyman reboot works out.
Did you see the original?
I did see the original. It's been a very long time, so that'll warrant a rewatching.
Yes, that came out in 92, I think.
Yeah, 92. Yeah. You hit it right on the bet. So, so I'm interested to see how. I mean, the original Candyman took place in Cabrini Green, the projects in Chicago. Cabrini Green doesn't even exist anymore. It was raised and gentrified and such. So I'm not sure how they're, you know, what they're going to do with the reboot and a remake. I don't know if it's a remake or a reboot. We'll have to see. But I'm very interested in seeing what they do with it.
Me too. I thought the original was a interesting concept. You know, even though it's kind of really your typical monster.
Right, psycho movie, slasher.
But I like the fact that it was set in the projects, and it was a different type of monster, a different type of villain.
Yeah. So when the new one comes out, we'll definitely have to do another podcast about it. So
absolutely.
That one is set to release, let's see, August 27th is its current release date. So we've got a little bit of time for that.
I'm sorry, what else you got? What other movies coming out?
What else is coming out? Well, we're going to get another Halloween movie this year. It was supposed to come out in 2020.
Really?
This one is Halloween Kills.
Really?
And then the final one is supposed to be Halloween Ends, which will be the final one, so they say.
The final.
But this time we really mean it.
You know, at some point they're gonna make Michael Myers meets Abbott and Costello, because at some point these characters that are so iconic and so horrific, they degrade to the point where they don't know what to do with them, and at the end they have to like do crap to them, to the writing, where it becomes comedic,
right?
And it loses completely all respect for being a horror villain.
Yeah. Well, let's touch on that briefly then. You know, the interesting thing that, you know, I found that in horror movies, the longer it goes, like you said, the more comedic it gets. So the original Nightmare on Elm Street, I loved. The second one was pretty good. Then they started getting comical.
Yes.
And it was, yeah, it was less about horror and more about what kind of cool, creative, weird things can we come up with?
What kind of dumb antics can Freddy Krueger, can we make Freddy Krueger do?
Right. And, you know, Halloween and Friday the 13th, you know, these iconic killers, each movie ends up just being kind of a cookie cutter of the last. And each one is a aging ourselves, a Xerox copy. So each one is not as crisp and sharp as the one previous. And so the originals always seem to be the best because it's new, it's fresh.
Yes.
But I agree. The fourth time you see Jason go ballistic and kill a bunch of co-eds, it's like, okay, we've seen this before.
Yes, yes. And they try to come up with all sorts of gimmicky stuff, like Jason X, Jason in Space.
Yeah, right? Which was awful. Oh, my goodness.
You can see, like, if you look at the 1980s, Friday the 13th, Sean S. Cunningham, I think, is the producer or the director. It's really fresh. It's really scary. It was very different. I think it was groundbreaking, even, because it started all the slasher movies. Actually, it started with Leatherface and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But Jason Voorhees had a spot on its own, because his story was tragic. You knew a little something about his backstory, and it was very tragic, and I think it added to the overall creepiness of the movie, in the woods, alone, all these kids. And then you look at Jason X, he's in space, and, you know, he's cryogenically frozen, and, you know, they're living out in this, like, ship somewhere, and
right, and, yeah, and they write just all these ridiculous
dumb jokes into the script. You're right, it just degenerates.
I remember,
and I still watched it. Why did I watch it?
I went on a kick once where all these iconic horror series, I watched them, like, the whole series. So I went and I watched through all of the Friday the 13th movies. And, you know, at the end of each one, Jason dies. And then at the beginning of the next one, he comes back, you know, somehow. But in one of them, I want to say it's like 4. They don't even explain how he came back. He's just there.
Yeah, you see that.
You know, and yeah, it's so now the interesting thing, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the Friday the 13th movies, talking about how the first one was so fresh and whatever, Jason wasn't even the killer in the first one.
You're right.
It was his mother.
The mother.
They made it seem like Jason had somehow come back from the dead, but it was really just his mom getting revenge. Mm-hmm. Jason actually doesn't come back until the second one, and that's where we get the iconic hockey mask, because yeah. The second one he's just wearing a bag over his head, so it's not even until the third one that it's the iconic hockey mask that becomes
actually yeah. I thought the sack over his head was a lot more effective and creepy than the mask,
right? Yeah,
the mask was cool, don't get me wrong, but I thought the bag with the overalls and I think he had like an axe or something, I thought that was a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think like 8 was Jason does Manhattan or something like that.
He's the boxer. Remember the boxer? Yeah. See the boxer?
Yeah.
Trying to fight him and suddenly he just knocks his head right off.
Yeah. It was just...
I guess they have their place. I mean...
The girl was telekinetic and she used her mind powers to squeeze the hockey mask his head in the hockey mask. So yeah, it's just stupid stuff. But yeah, so they, you know, the longer series go, the more of a mockery gets made of these iconic killers. And I mean, you've got Jason that started great and fizzled out. You've got Freddy. Michael Myers.
They're all victim of this.
Yeah.
Even Leatherface.
Leatherface becomes a Pinhead.
Murdering idiot. Well, he was to begin with.
Pinhead, the Hellraiser series is iconic and awesome. And the last couple Hellraisers that came out, I guess they went straight to video or whatever, the original Pinhead actor didn't even want anything to do with them.
I don't blame him.
And
it just gets to a point where, well, I guess, you know, career-wise, it gets to the point, like, that's what happened to Robert Englund, is that after a while of doing Freddy, he could get no other jobs but scary movies.
Right.
You know, and not even good scary movies. Like cheap direct-to-video productions and all this, you right. know.
Now, that being said, though, I mean, if you came to me and said, I want to put you in these slasher movies, as they go along, you're going to become more of a clown than a scary guy, and you'll never be able to get acting work after that. But people will pay you hundreds of dollars to take their photo of with you at conventions. Are you in? I'd be like, bring it on, you know.
Yeah. Adoring fans.
Yeah.
Line them up.
You know, you got these guys that, you know, the original Star Trek actors, you know, that some of them like Shatner are still acting, but some of them, all they do is they do the convention circuit.
And they do pretty good at it here.
So,
right? I guess they, you know, but some of them, I mean, like, they get typecast. And
It's hard to break out of that typecasting and, you know, become a serious actor. I mean, the original, I think it was Jason, an actor by the name of Kane Hodder.
Yes, I remember Kane Hodder. He was a bodybuilder, I think.
Yeah. You know, and he was the original Jason, and... You know, that's what he's known for.
Yeah, basically, that's all he did.
Yeah, so... Oh,
did you hear David Prowse died?
David Prowse, yeah, died about a week ago. He was the body actor for Darth Vader.
Yes.
And then this week, the body actor for Boba Fett died.
What was his name? Jeremy Bullock? Is that the actor?
It sounds right. Like I said, this was just a few days ago, but it was
coming up.
So, yeah, so... But, and for those of you who are listening, they're like, no, that happened weeks ago. We are recording these ahead of time. So we're still smack in the horror of 2020 right now as we're talking about this. Oh, so man, that's
a terrible year. Let's just, can't wait for this thing.
Right.
To be
that's
over.
Why we're relaunching it into 2021.
Yes.
Anyway, I think this is a good place for us to end this episode. So thanks again for listening. We're gonna be back. Now, this one, we talked about a remake in Poltergeist. Our next episode, we're going to be talking about a reboot. So tune in a couple weeks for that next episode, something I would consider more a reboot than a remake. We'll see you next time. I'm not going to spoil it. Yes, I am. It's Child's Play. We're going to talk about Child's Play in the next episode. So the original versus a new one, reboot versus remake. So thanks for listening, everyone. Hit us with comments and emails and stuff like that. And we'll see you next time. Say goodbye, Dan.
Goodbye, everybody.